One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWRV 3.185. Tonight, transmitting and simulcasting also on 5050 and on 2.390. Glad to have you in here. If you're joining us by internet, welcome aboard. Call a friend and tell them Pastor Buddy is on the air. The seven great world empires. Looks like, ladies and gentlemen, we have the Egyptian Empire. We had a change in Egypt. The Assyrian Empire. We're now talking about the Assyrian tablets that's revealing the great wrath of the planets that are coming into our solar system. 20 and 12, prophetically, called the time of trouble. Jacob's trouble at the point of crossing, where we have spent an extensive time in explaining what's coming down in the next few years in our history. The Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian, the Roman, and then the Antichrist. Seven great world empires. What about the Antichrist? All the Bible says all the people on earth will wonder at the beast that was and is not. The great wound that was healed. Christ talked about the kingdom that would come in and destroy the Hebrew people. He says that this Roman Empire would come and put the final crush on the hopes and aspirations of the people that dreamed about the coming kingdom. The description of Satan, the anointed cherub, in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, that's where we're going to get our gestalt tonight. We're going to talk about the prophet who is telling us about the rise of the Antichrist kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the entrance door. Now, Satan, knowing that he has but a short time to work, he is coming on the scene with wrath. Knowing that he has a short time, he's in a hurry. He don't care to make mistakes. He don't care about doing everything politically correct. He's not done anything politically correct in a long time, for that matter, and he's not going to start anytime soon. Are you ready to face what's in the future? Look at the earthquakes and the devastation and the carnage. We go back a few years, and we look at the destruction on the earth. We are at a point in history where earth may not be here much longer. You ever thought about that? After earth, why, where, how, and when we might all leave our home planet. You know, you're not promised the ground under your feet. You don't own it. The earth belongs to Yahweh. You are actually something like a hitchhiker, wherever you got picked up. We might have 1,000 years left on earth before it destructs. It looks like Satan and his people, who have no respect for the earth, that they're trying to fix the earth, that it won't be fit for occupation. We know that in 2 billion years or so, an expanding sun will boil away our oceans, leaving our home in the universe uninhabitable, unless, that is, if we haven't already been wiped out by the Andromeda galaxy, which is on a multi-billion-year collision course with the Milky Way. Moreover, at least a third of the 1,000-mile-wide asteroids that hurtle across our orbital path will eventually, by chance, crash into us, and we will have equal to 10,000 atomic bombs going off at one time. Think about that. We're playing Russian roulette with the debris that's in our path. Did you know that in 1989, we had a smaller asteroid, which the Earth barely missed by 6 hours. Now think about that. This was a smaller one. I think it was about 100 miles wide. Think about a 100-mile asteroid, just a great piece of rock, if you will, crashing into the Earth in the orbital system. Think about what that would cause. Well, think about 1,000 miles. Multiply that times 9, and you've got 1,000-mile-wide asteroid. We only missed one in 89. That was the last near miss. 6 hours. What are we going to do if one strikes? You never know. If you keep playing Russian roulette, keep pulling the trigger long enough, you're going to blow your head off. And there's no guarantee that the next pull will be the last. Many of the threats that lead us to consider leaving Earth making living arrangements somewhere else, actually man-made. And that's what man is doing. We're trying to figure out how to destroy this planet that we live on in hopes that we could find a better future home. We know that the Earth is going to run out of Russian roulette chances. We know that we're not going to repent. The risk that unholy humans pose to the planet will simply someday leave it in utter destruction according to the Bible. Here we've got our resources running out. Man is now considering reducing the population by some type of catastrophe. Ladies and gentlemen, they will manufacture any reason for you to get off the planet, to give them, who's them, the elite. There is a elite dragon blood people, snake blood, if you will, in the earth that believes that they have access to the earth. They've reigned over it for so long, they actually believe it belongs to them. And the Bible says that all these droughts, all of these events that are taking place, let me show you on a scale of what I'm talking about. Over the past decade, we have a triple number from the 1980s, nearly 54 times that of 1901. 54 times increase. If you look at the data collected, the scenarios have included climate change, severe water shortages, the submersion of coastal areas, tsunamis, widespread famine, earthquakes. Oh, do we ever know about earthquakes, huh? I mean, we just got almost a 10 on a scale of 10. We almost got a 10. We got a 9 plus. Producing widespread famine. People in Japan right now are lacking water, food. They're lacking heat. Snowing on them. They're sleeping without any heat. Think about that. You're going to lay down tonight and sleep comfortable. It may be you tomorrow. The world could end by way of a deadly pathogen, a nuclear war, or as the Lifeboat Foundation warns, the misuse of increasingly powerful, deadly technologies. Oh, is that what we're experiencing right now? And we want to build more deadly technology to spread earthquakes, droughts, epic rains, floods, triple the number from the 80s to nearly 54 times of that in 1900. We're 54 times increase of events, catastrophic, because of the misuse of these powerful technologies. Well, isn't that what was happening in Genesis chapter 6? Man became so evil that his mind begin to operate in the evil mode. And the Creator warned that man's mind was continuously on evil. Therefore, all life came to an end that he saw. And as he spake, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. Now we're told that the mass extinction of the dinosaurs was because of an asteroid impact. Reckon it was? Deadly nuclear war? The misuse of the powerful technologies? The risk that humans are taking to destroy the planet? Because they have no respect for you? Is Yahweh going to stand by and let man destroy the planet that he made for man, Adam, man, to occupy and to rule over? We know the Bible says unless the falling away comes, there won't be any end to this alliance. There won't be a need to rescue civilization. He will keep giving us this system that is set up to teach us. The earth is nothing but a schoolmaster. Right now, I don't know where you know this, but there are human beings today alive that are now saying there is coming a day when there will be more human beings living off the earth than on it. Now, what do you think about that? Do you really believe that man is going to find another planet after the earth where we live, and we might have to leave the home planet in search? Has it happened before? Nothing new under the sun, the Bible says. Are we bound to be forced off this planet because we destroyed it through greed and lust? All we've got on our mind is the stock market. How to make money. We lust and we envy and we have not. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a time of trouble. We have dug ourselves a huge hole, and we're in a crater so deep, and there's so much cosmic radiation which will damage our DNA and leads to cancer. We're on-site nuclear power plants, which are now exploding because of the world in upheaval. Various methods that we're using to extract carbon, silicone, aluminum, and other materials from the lunar surface. We're already mining those things. Where we've done created a roadmap to space settlement, identifying the moon as the logical initial stop, where we are now almost to the point to have a permanent lunar base. We're already building hotels and casinos in the heavens. Yeah. We are there now in the heavens building workstations. stations. They call it workstations. All it is, ladies and gentlemen, is getting used to living in space. Our moon, which is closer, we've already been there, according to some. And the moons of Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune are believed to contain vastly greater quantities of water, carbon, nitrogen. And so we're going to go planet skipping or moon skipping into our solar system as we look for a home. As we destroy this one, we're now thinking about going out in the cosmic and exploring other places that could receive us to where we could continue our sinful, unrepentant ways. And we're going to talk about the steps to hell. 13 steps to hell. We're going to give it to you in a series. And we already know that if Satan can't own this planet, he will destroy it. Now, again, in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, it says that Satan was angry. Now, what's he angry about? Who's he angry at? The war of the two seeds is a strange adventure, starting in the book of Genesis. It talks about in the third chapter, Satan and his offspring, that's his children, and the woman and her children. Now, don't describe their father. But we know that we are the sons of Yahweh, sons of light versus the sons of darkness. Now, you've got the idea of why the battle is going to be joined. That we're almost at the point where there is no end to the attacks that Satan is using to deceive the very elect. We're working our way feverishly toward the end of the world. Can we talk about that tonight? Could we discuss the possibilities that we are in a time of trouble? Satan is nothing but a liar. And the Bible says that he's going to come back and deceive the very elect, if possible. My sheep, he said, this is what Christ said, my sheep, that's the sons of light, know my voice. At what point are we going to have the prophets and the teachers and the instructors? When are they going to get enough nerve to bring the dead ring of truth? You shall know the truth. It's going to take a different type of truth to turn the world around, to save with an intervention, except Yahweh shortened the days, they will be no flesh saved. That's how Satan and his kingdom and his followers, who now are feverishly setting up the new world order, they're even going to make war with Yahweh, and that's the seed of the woman. And he's going to deceive, and he's going to strongly establish his kingdom. And so the first thing that Satan attacks is the truth of God's word, making people disbelieve. You can tell people the truth right now. I can give you a biblical truth time after time, and very few people will see it. It's not revealed to those who have no eyes. It's not heard by those who have no ears to hear the truth. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and the few there be that find it. The Bible must return to its credible ways to convince God's people that it is the truth. So Satan has relentless attacks against the Word. People believe a lie. They feel safe. Oh. You can tell people that we're in the end days. You can tell people that the Bible is literally inspired. And they will laugh. Turn their ears from hearing the truth. Cast your name out as evil. Most of the biblical accounts are belittled as myths. Even the theologians of today don't really believe. They think that this is just some fairy tale, that the Bible accounts are nothing but myths, including the creation account. We have atheists. Satan is destroying the credibility of the Word. If people really believed, people's minds have changed in the last 100 years. Like I say, since the 1900s, when we've had a 54% increase in all of the things that was prophesied in Matthew chapter 24. The greatest of these myths or superstitions or fears is that people don't understand that the time of trouble is not directed at the people of the world. It's in Satan's advantage to cause good times, to eat, to drink, and to be merry. Now I want to ask you a question. With all of the negative soothsayers producing the doom and gloom, Christians are wanting to believe the bad things to happen so that it'll hasten the day of the coming, because we know the description of his coming. He's coming to destroy them that destroy the earth. Satan's kingdom is a kingdom of the power of the air. When he gets you to doubting the Word is the only thing that the Messiah had at his disposal to battle Satan. Get behind me, for it is written. Get behind me. Why can't we take the same Word that's written and trust the Word to be as powerful and as life-changing as it was for the Messiah when he spoke the Word that was written and defeated the devil? Well, the Bible speaks about an unholy priesthood. Beware of the scribes. Beware of the Pharisees. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. He's coming back after people that kept the faith and they denied his name. He's coming back after those who hold on to the truth of His Word are not soon shaken in mind or spirit, but to battle the great battle with faith. It's going to take a lot of faith to sustain, to resist the subversion of the devil and Satan's attack on Yahweh's Word. That's the first thing that Satan wants to do, destroy the credibility of that which is written. Let's go to the New Testament. The truth of the divine revelations has been replaced by the lies of Satan. Changes, the impostures, a seem-right way. Living in a religious environment with no truth. People backslid. People who deny. People who abandon the truth. The people whose sins testify against them. They transgress. They lie. They separate. They depart. They speak evil of those who have truth. They cast the truth to the ground and they prosper. The truth and the righteousness has fallen into the street. And those who misuse the word, the lie, Satan loves a lie. Satan offers his alternative kingdom. We're going to be raptured out, Pastor Buddy, haven't you heard? Don't worry, Pastor Buddy. We don't have to go through the tribulation. That's why people have quit repenting. Well, if you're on an airplane, make sure you're on with a Christian pilot. How come? Well, that plane would probably crash. You know, he's gonna vacate the plane. Who's going to fly the plane to the ground and land? When Yahweh comes, who cares? We're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to rise up to meet Him. But is that the teaching of the Scriptures? And the answer is no. The lies of the non-Christian religions are presented now more as truth. Our truth of the Word, rightly divided, is under assault by Satan. People that live in the Western nations, we're fat, we're lazy, we're trifling, we're all talk and no doing. We have a form of godliness. We deny the power. Oh, if we have this collective consciousness, if we all go to church, if we're all loving one another, oh, it's all right, Pastor Buddy. The name Jesus, it doesn't matter what His name is. You go on about that all the time. It don't really matter what the name of the Creator is. The third step away from the truth is that Satan implanted another name, which there is not another, the Antichrist. The object in Satan's strategy for a takeover of the world religion is the deconstruction of the great name of Yahweh. And in the process, Jesus is rendered another Jesus to enable the Antichrist to come in that name and deceive even the very elect. There is a name that seems right. There is a people who have worshipped the beast who has taken the name of the beast into their forehead or into their right hand. How do you convince someone that the New Testament name of Jesus is not correct? This is one of the greatest battles that I've ever had to confront. When Christians, unsuspecting Christians, they participate in destroying the true name and build up a false name, a name that seems right, and they're not aware of the danger of denying or changing Yahweh's word. They're deceived by the devil who's given them a name to live by, but they're dead. Oh, yeah, they're full of good deeds. Hell is paved with good intentions. People think if they're good, if they love everybody, the Bible don't tell you to love everybody. It tells you to love not the devil, to love not the things of the world, but to rather rebuke those that do. Open rebuke is better than secret love. And yet we've got those who defend the name that's acceptable to them because it's written by those who would seek to change and pull people from the truth of the faith. Boy, it's a hard row to hoe when you try to convince people that the name Jesus is a name of a false savior. They're cultic. They're sticking with Jesus. And you say, well, Jesus is not even 500 years old. There's no Jesus. It couldn't have been Jesus. Could you try something else? I ain't having nothing else. And don't try to present nothing else to me. Because they'll quote that scripture. If any come to you having not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, or wish him Godspeed. To them, Jesus is his name. It's all right to have Buddha, to Krishna, Mohammed. It's all right to have all these. It's all right to have all kinds of different blood types come to our church and marry each other and to miscegenate. You can't convince them it's wrong. They will not accept and follow the truth. They cannot even comprehend that Yahweh would frown on such practices. It's obvious that Satan's lies are increasingly getting the upper hand in large segments of the church called Christian, thus rendering the masses to be susceptible to the false Christ when he comes. The fourth is the doctrine of the triune God. Three gods in the Godhead. Not understanding that our God, who loved us as a family, came as a father to redeem his children. Now, most of the Christian church is teaching that Christ is coming back as the bridegroom. They don't know that he came as a bridegroom, got his bride in the first resurrection, raptured that bride out into heaven. There he's reigning and ruling and travailing with his bride, and today is getting sons and daughters, and he's coming back, not for his bride, but for his sons and daughters. At what time do we get sons and daughters? If he's not married, if Christ and the bride is not consummated their love in marriage, if they don't have offspring, then he's going to come back and claim bastards and not sons. Spiritual rebirth is the fifth step. That's a mystical spiritual experience. John 3:3 then is very clear. And Satan is specifically intent on keeping people from being born from above, not again. Again, the translators said unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It don't say that. It says unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not born again, born from above. Meaning that a people who were with him from the very beginning with their names on the Lamb's book, that's quite different than being born again. The church is busy getting people born again instead of revealing to them that their birth came from above, that they existed, pre-existed with him before the foundation of the world with their name. You get into that, that becomes a spiritual experience that most of them have never heard about. They only believe they've been born again when they need to know they're born from above. No man is ascended into heaven save he which come down out of heaven. That's what the Bible says. Satan's deceiving spirits. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Many spirits, try them. Step 6. The narrow way to heaven becomes a wide road, the false road. When Satan paves a wide, broad way, with people eating and drinking and being merry with this new Jesus that they created. Oh, he loves everybody. And yet, the Bible tells us he's coming back in flame and fire. Would you want to touch a flame and fire? Would you want to touch someone that's full of wrath? Would you want to touch someone that's slinging a sword and slaying everything before him? The narrow road to heaven becomes a broad way paved with good intentions of people thinking that sweet Jesus loves everyone. It's okay for you to be of one blood and marry another and miscegenate it and adulterate it. There's no penalty. Don't listen to that racist pastor buddy. The devil has created a Broadway. Don't get on the Broadway. Beware of someone that is well spoken of. When you've got faith, when you've got confidence, you know the truth, and the truth has made you free. They'll only continue their deception. More and more are negatively inclined towards the wide way, the way that seems right. All churches are open now, all hugged up together, like a wad of snakes. And suddenly, the seventh step to hell turns into the Broadway that is become the accepted way to harmony and peace. They'll discredit your teaching of exclusion and promote the gospel of inclusion. Oh, he'll take anything you can chase, drag, or pull. All you gotta do is be good and join the church. Yes, black and white. They can mate and have children. God don't look on the outward. We're all the same blood. Ain't you glad that a bluebird and a jaybird has got more sense than that? Aren't you glad that Mother Nature, if we're allowed to call her that, that the things, the boundaries were set by the Creator, is kept by those animals that were programmed into DNA to avoid the appearance of evil? They have no thoughts. They have no sexual inclination, a red bird to mate with a blue bird. They don't even have an attraction. It's amazing. This is set in the narrow way. The broad way, the seventh step to hell, becomes the accepted way to harmony and peace. When they say peace, peace, then cometh the sudden destruction, and the devil is the only winner. When lost people become justified and praised as they follow the modern Tower of Babel, they inherit the will of Satan. They have his mind carnal. They cast off or they resist the Holy Ghost that would set them aside into the straight and narrow, that would separate them from the world. The eighth step is when your prayers become the accepted norm of the world, with the intensified efforts made by Satan and his kingdom to sever all contact between people who worship the true God instead of the fake, unnatural. The Bible says these people will even become unnatural. Their prayers are distorted. They pray long prayers. They teach people how to substitute prayer for long prayers. They produce people into hypnotic trance state or altered states of confidence. I shall send them a strong delusion to believe a lie. There are more people influenced by the occult spiritual powers that the channel that the devil has put into their communicative will, and instilled a consciousness of his new world order. To them, they accept that naturally. Step 9. The Christian path becomes a trap, as the alliance of all faith blend together under a new world order, as they worship the common belief in the triune God, the universal God of all faiths. God loves everyone. They refuse the revelation of truth. When they hear it, they say, oh, that's just hate preaching. Oh, that fellow doesn't love. You can tell that in his voice. He hates everybody. And so then, that ninth path becomes a veiled revelation of things that seem right instead of the things that are. and the god of this world has blinded their eyes, lest at any time they should open, see it, repent, and recover their self out of the snare. The tenth step, as we hurry along here, the tenth step is for those who have faith in Old Jerusalem as they wait for Satan's temple to be built before they even think that the thousand-year reign is close. They shall be given a strong delusion by the Satan who, as God, sits in the kingdom throne of God, deceiving even, yes, the very elect. They will become under his spell and his control. And Yahweh warned us that the world would conclude and enter into a covenant. The whole world will be deceived with a false Messiah, according to John 5:43. Daniel indicated that Israel will conclude a covenant with the Antichrist for 1 week or 7 years. As part of the covenant, they will be granted the right to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. But it will specifically be a temple for the world Messiah, the common Messiah of all faiths, when he's only coming back after the faith. Oh, yes, there is a way that seemeth right. But my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, and you are the temple of Yahweh. For Yahweh dwelleth not in the temples. People are going to be persuaded to go to Old Jerusalem. Divine revelations in the Bible become extra-biblical revelations of information as Satan sends these people a delusion that they could accept these false divine revelations because the world believes it in a rapture. They believe in a third temple. All these things are formulating right now in the New World Order religion, and the 11th step toward hell would be fulfilled. Number 12, the futuristic kingdom of Yahweh becomes a humanistic kingdom. Satan knows that the Heavenly Father will return to earth to destroy his enemies. Only his sheep, only the remnant, only those who hear his voice, only those who have established his kingdom within them. Instead of wanting to go in an outward, for Satan has sent them a strong delusion that they can be firmly rooted in theological thinking across the globe. These leading huge Christian churches actively supporting and promoting the strong humanistic multi-religious nature, they will render proof of its unbiblical and satanic character as they make preparations to worship the beast. He'll be universally accepted, followed, and even worshipped, according to Revelation 13:3. When his kingdom is well established, when he's deceived the very elect if possible, then his followers will even fight against the true Messiah on the day of his coming in an effort to kill him, in an effort to prevent him from ruling and reigning. And the 13th and final step into the bottom of hell, where you will lift up your eyes the rapture. People who believe becomes the very removal as rebels that they thought was going to remain on the earth. It is the unbelievers who will be raptured away because of their unbelief, because of their rebel nature of resisting the Holy Ghost, where they will face the judgment gathered together first, the unbelievers, the evil. Gather them, sever them out from among the righteous. The righteous shall inherit the earth. The righteous have gone through the battle. Satan will advance against the little kingdom of the people who have kept the faith. And he'll say to them of his right hand, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, enter into the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Yahweh bless, Yahweh keep. In this time of trouble, Satan is setting up a kingdom with 13 steps to hell. You'll lift up your eyes. Come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sin. You got my message tonight? Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. The Antichrist is setting up the Third World War right now to bring in the New World Order. The New World Order is setting up chaotic times, hard economic times, the falling of currencies, the loss of the worth of your monies, your life savings drained away, paying more for gasoline. All this is planned to get you separated from your wealth, because Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his game. He plays it well. Yahweh's coming back to remove Satan and his angels, and those who have been deceived by him first, remember that. Worship Yahweh. Love him. Keep the faith. Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. That's my address. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 568. Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. I'd like to hear from you. Call me tonight, area code 423-351-1082. Give me a call tonight. That's 423-351-1082. Be y'all so ready. The folks were in the last days. These are just the beginning of sorrow. This is not the end. You haven't seen nothing yet. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. You're going to hear of people binding together on the Broadway, the eat, drink, and be merry way. The conspiracy is that Satan is coming to deceive the very elect. Don't fall for it. I love you. I'll see you around the world come Friday night. WWRB 2.390. Tune us in. Yahweh bless you. And I'll see you Friday night at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time before our next broadcast. Until then, may Yahweh separate you from Satan's world. May he give you the knowledge of the end time revelations. It's not like you think it is. He's going to deceive the very elect. Think about it. When you think you can't be deceived, Satan's probably, perhaps, already got you. If you're rejected, if you're hated for the name that you preach and teach, you're probably pretty well on the right trail. Continue on. I'll see you Friday night. Yahweh bless you.